For the conservation of time, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse number 1, you'll find these words. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go and speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and their foreheads strong against their foreheads. And as an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place. We've read Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. May God add a blessing to the reading of the Old Covenant Scripture. And now in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we'll start in at verse 20, just a few verses. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe, but for them which believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place and shall speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. We read 1 Corinthians 14, verses 20 to 25 from the New Testament. May God add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word. And we'd like to use for topic today, here today, gone tomorrow. Let us pray. Everlasting God, our Father, we just thank you today for this worship service. Father, you brought us together here this morning. We came into the house of worship, and we are clothed and in our right minds. And so we thank you for that all by itself. Father, we thank you that we're able to move about and that we're able to be here one more time in your presence. Because, Father, some people 10 years ago went to work on a regular day, and great terror fell upon them, God, without any notice. And they all went away instantly, and just souls were separated that day. Some came to you, and some went elsewhere. And, Father, we know that there was a dividing of souls on that morning, that fateful morning on September 11th, that people went about their business in a normal manner. And they were here today and gone tomorrow. The next day, they were not here any longer. And so, Father, we know the backlash from that has rippled all the way down even to this 10-year anniversary this morning. And so, Father, we pray for those families, those homes that were affected, those lives, even all the survivors that witnessed the great cataclysm that came upon the Twin Towers. And we ask today, Father, that even 10 years later, that you continue to minister to us who are still here, surviving that terrible day. Oh, God, that we might all just acquire new wisdom and a fresh mind about everything. That we would use this, oh, God, to motivate us to move forward and to get the gospel preached in all the earth. Father, many in the church have forgotten that you said, go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever you had commanded us. And you said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And so today, Father, we pray that you create afresh in us a new heart, a new mind toward the gospel, that we would be able to move out, oh God, and bless with the blessings that you have blessed us with, many who hear our words. And we ask it in the righteous name of Jesus Christ, your Son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Let the whole church give the Lord a hand praise. And thank you today, Father. Amen. The church is to be about the business of giving praise and worship to the Most High God. When God has made a decision, you and I have to come to the place where we learn to be content in whatsoever circumstances that we are. We live in a time today when people have kind of turned a deaf ear to the truth. The spirit of political correctness is sweeping the world. The sad thing is that it's sweeping the church. That's the thing that troubles me. The church is God's set of people that he has called out in from the world to be separated from the world and to be separated unto him. And so when cataclysmic things happen, like what happened on September 11th, the church should be more busy about telling people what thus saith the Lord. We have to understand that the dividing line between heaven and hell is centered on one individual that God sent into the world. That is his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In spite of political correctness, that's that attitude that any old thing, as long as it's about a faith of any kind, and people want to talk about old faith here and there, and if the faith is not directed at the Son of God, who is the only mediator between God and men, we have to be an agent of correction, you and I. That's our duty, to confront a culture that has turned its back on the truth of the Word of God. People want to think that anytime anybody dies, they all go to heaven. We make little movies, all dogs go to heaven. You know what? All dogs don't go to heaven. Those who are trusted and believing in the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, was crucified for the sins of the world, and was raised from the dead after 3 days and nights, those are the ones who go to heaven, the ones who believe the good news. And so it's insufficient for me and you to sit around and think that just because you have faith in something that you're going to be okay. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Because when such a thing as this happens, and it does happen, it happens every day. It didn't just happen on September 11th. It's been going on for a long time. Cataclysm can come upon us at a moment's notice and without notice. You see, and so you and I need to be prepared. We need to check ourselves. What do you believe? Where is your faith anchor? Is Jesus Christ your steadfast anchor that you hold on to? Do you put your trust in him and believe in him and hold solely to his name? Do you consider him to be the only way, the truth, and the life? That's what he said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. See, and making statements like that is a statement that will divide you if you're not understanding it. You need to understand Jesus was drawing a line. He said, whosoever believes in me shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And the truth of the matter is, either that's true or false. It's not an option that Buddha or somebody else somewhere might have some way to save you. Either that or Jesus is not correct. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So what do you do when situations come up in your life like they did in Israel? Israel had been sent Moses, who came to them to give them the word of God. They had been separated from the days of Abraham, from the Gentiles. They were the first set of people that God called out from among the rest of the people to be a different people separated to his name. You see? But you know what? They enjoyed it toward the beginning, even though they were always stiff-necked and rebellious, hard to believe. But as time went on and the blessings of God began to flow, they got more and more hard of hearing. And they would not hear what the prophet said. They would not hear the voice of the Lord with thus saith the Lord. When we come to the book of Ezekiel, many generations have passed. The northern kingdom has been taken into captivity already. Some of the refugees from there ran back to the southern kingdom like they should have been in the first place. They never should have separated at all. And they ran, and they took off and ran back to the southern kingdom, you see. And they come to find out now, God was giving them more time to repent and to hear his voice. They were to be an evangelistic people. In other words, God sent them out to show that by the way they lived their lives, being in the righteousness of God, walking by faith in the true and living God, that other people would be attracted to the beauty of their lives. Did you know that? The called out people, you and I, who are called out, separated, or set up to be a light in the midst of darkness, that you are set up by God to be a city that is set up on a hill that cannot be hid, that you are set up to be a beacon of light in the midst of a troubled generation. And same thing was true of Israel. God was calling them out to be a separate people, but you know what their problem was? They wanted to live like the Gentiles. They kept looking around, seeing how the Gentiles looked like they were prosperous. They kept looking around, seeing the worship that they were doing, thinking that it was fun. It looks fun, and it's attractive, and it had things that catered to their flesh, you see. And they wanted to be like them, rather than being a separated people to the Lord their God. And that's the reason why they ended up splitting up about halfway through. They had multiple years under the reign of King David and King Solomon when all the 12 tribes were united together. And then at the end of the reign of Solomon, the kingdom was torn half in two. The northern kingdom was separated, and they separated 10 of the tribes until they went into idolatry so heavily that God sent judgment by Assyria, and he allowed them to be scattered to the four winds, if you will. Judah and Benjamin were in the southern kingdom still worshiping God at Jerusalem. And that went on for another over 100 years after the northern kingdom was taken into captivity in 722 B.C. And so finally in 586 B.C., the southern kingdom was now contaminated with those Jews from the northern kingdom, and they also went into captivity. And they were taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. You see, and all of the tribes were now scattered among the Gentiles. When we read the book of Ezekiel that I picked for a text for this message today, here today, gone tomorrow, think about how they were. They were being prosperous, if you will. They had been blessed by God. They had been given houses that they did not build. They had been given wells that they did not dig. They had received things that God just bestowed upon them that they did not have to work hard for. They were made wealthy by God, and then they began to worship the wealth that they had rather than the God who blessed them. They got complacent. They got kind of fixed in their blessings and didn't realize and blessed the blesser who had given them the blessings. They started to put God on the back burner. They forgot about the Sabbaths and the rest when they were supposed to rest in the Lord. You see, and began to work for more and more and more and more. Just work, 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 if you will. Until they had skipped over the Sabbath for a long time, and then God sent judgment because of it. You know what? God wants every one of his children. That means if you are his child here today, to rest in him. If you rest in the Lord, then you can do everything else a lot better. You know, if we don't rest in the Lord, then we have a problem. What happens when we get so busy we don't have time for the things of God? And we put the things of God on the back burner. See, you know, think about it. God is examining every one of us. And this time that we have come to here now, 10 full years from the time of that great cataclysm, it got everybody's attention. That Sunday, that time when that happened, September 11th, I remember I was at work and everything just stopped. I happened to work at the airport. And since airplanes were used as weapons of mass destruction, it affected my job tremendously. We got a call from somebody and said, "Hey, did you hear that the plane slammed into one of the towers in New York?" I said, "Oh, are you kidding me?" Actually, it was a lady who called. This is kind of funny. A guy who used to come to work late all the time, and his wife called. And I said, "Oh, so why is Bill not coming to work today?" I was trying to figure out how she was going to hook that up. She told me a plane slammed into the Twin Towers. I said, "Well, okay, why is he not coming to work then?" I was trying to figure it out. She says, "Oh, no, no, he's at work already." I said, "Oh, he is? Oh, okay." I didn't know. I thought this was another lame excuse. I've heard so many. Oh, the door is frozen. Oh, the cat is passing blood. I heard all kinds of excuses why he wasn't coming to work. And his wife was the one who called this guy. And said, "Oh, you know, the plane just slammed into the Twin Towers." I said, "Okay, this is a good one." I'm thinking to myself, but she was serious. The plane really had. And I told my boss, and he said, "Oh, really?" You know, so we sat there, and we said, "Well, we turned on the TV to see what's happening." We turned the TV on, and right about that time, the second plane slammed into the second tower. It's like, okay, this is not a coincidence. And so we started to think, how serious of a thing is this that's happening to America? Next thing you know, the FAA got on the radio, which we were able to hear at the airport, and they said, "All planes stop, come down out of the air." They wanted to land every aircraft. And Lambert, which was a hustling, bustling airport, came to a screeching halt. It was so loud that in my shop you could hear the noise all day. You had to pick up your voice to speak over the volume of the aircraft that were out there on the ramp. And it went to a complete silence all at once. You know what? The airport has never been the same since. It's been much quieter than it ever was before that. It made a great impact on everything in all of our operations, and we started to see things decline after that. It's my opinion that the aviation industry had peaked at that point, and now we're on the downside, seeing it level out and go down. It's going downhill now at this point. A lot of people are scared to fly. Maybe you might be one of them. Some people said from that day on, "I will never get an aircraft again." And they've been riding, driving on the ground in cars, or riding on buses, or taking the train or something else. A lot of people vow never, ever again to get in an airplane. Some people are like that. They overreact to a situation. And I don't know where you are on that, but it was just interesting how that incident, where people were here today, gone tomorrow, changed the attitudes of a lot of people. And I thought, well, what should that do to us? And you know what else? The next weekend, the church was packed out. People start running into church. "Oh, I got to get to the church." You know what? You should have been in church the week before. You should have been in love with the Lord the whole time. You should be consistent walking with God. God was consistent walking with you. You know what? There were some people here. Jesus was asked a question here. Look at this over in Luke 13, if you don't mind. In Luke 13, you'll see these words. This kind of thing has been going on throughout time. Israel was a little hard-headed back then, just like the church is sometimes today. And not you all, but some other churches. Not anybody here. We don't have any hard-headed things here at Dickerson. But in the case, it says here in Luke 13, looking at chapter 13, verse 1, notice this. It says, "There were present at that season some that told him," they were talking to Jesus, "of Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices." He said, "Hey, Jesus, did you know there were some people worshiping God? And Pilate came in and chopped them up right there in the temple." Now think about that. These people were trying to do right. They came to church. They were worshiping God. They bought their sacrifices. They were in there to praise the Lord. And sudden destruction came upon them. Here today, gone tomorrow. And so they said, "What about that?" They want to ask Jesus, "What's your opinion?" These people were worshiping. They were in the church. They bought their sacrifices. They were praising God. And now they're out of here. Pilate came in and mingled their blood. In other words, he chopped them up while they were offering the sacrifices, and the blood of the sacrifice was on the altar. They thought, how scandalous. That is scandalous, isn't it? People minding their own business, doing right, trying to serve God, and then Pilate, who is a Roman, comes in and executes them right there and mingles their blood with the blood of the sacrifices that they're making on the altar. There's nothing much more blasphemous than that, is there? Notice Jesus' answer in verse 2. "And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things?" You know, were they any worse sinners than the rest of them? That's Jesus' answer. Verse number 3, "I tell you, no. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, he gives an example. He says, they weren't any worse sinners than all the rest. What about you? He's asking them, because you know what? They're here today. All of us are here today. Those ones that are gone, they're gone. Their fate is sealed. The Bible says this is counted unto man. A man is given once to die, and then after this, to judgment. You see, that today is the day of salvation. So if a person hasn't been saved, and that time runs out, they don't know when it'll be, then they chose not to accept the gift of God. Now Jesus gives them another example. Verse 4. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? See, here was a tower falling in on 18 people back in these days. He says, did you think they were worse sinners than the rest because the tower fell upon them? And he says, I tell you no. Verse number 5. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance is for the living. The dead cannot repent. We need to make a decision today. Where do we stand? And like Joshua, imagine him asking, why do you, and there are several people. He told them, choose this day whom you will serve. Joshua said it. Elijah said, well, why do you hop between two opinions? You know, if you're going to serve Baal, serve him. If you're going to serve the Lord, serve him. There's only two ways you can go. You can walk by the truth, or you can walk in darkness. The true God has always been the true God. He always will be the true God. And he is the one who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of the world. You and I need to be black and white and crystal clear. We don't have time for political correctness. You can't be saved serving anyone else. You cannot approach God apart from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We don't need to tiddle around with it. We have to be point blank. Because why? The Bible says it is so. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, Ephesians 4 and 5. You know what? When we get wishy-washy and start to mix with the culture to the point that there's no difference between our message and that of the culture, we're going to be in the same situation as when God sent Ezekiel to speak to the house of Israel. They went into captivity. Here they are in a terrible situation. Everything they saw as normal was taken away from them. They were scattered to the Gentiles. They were in the midst of the pagans. You like pagans? God said, fine, I'll scatter you among the pagans. You want to follow them instead of me? I'll scatter you among the pagans. But you know what? Even at that, God is a merciful God. Many of them died when the destruction came upon Jerusalem and upon Israel. But many of them perished. And many of them went into captivity and did not perish. They were still here. The next day, after the destruction had come down. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't try to analyze the people who have already entered into eternity. What about you? That's his question. You're here today. You can do something about your situation today. You can turn today. You can get right with God today. You don't have to perish and have an uncertain thing about your life. You can turn today. But you know what? He sent a prophet. The prophet Ezekiel came even in the captivity, and he went and God said, you eat the whole roll. Examine my word. Swallow the whole thing. Take it in. That means there's a specific word that God has to his people. It's not any old word. You know what? There's prophets on Wall Street who will tell you how to invest your money and how to get rich. There, some of them show up in the church and they want to try to manipulate what the church does. But the word of God is the Bible, the holy Bible that comes from Genesis to Revelation. God says, eat the whole book. Take it in. What I see, not what anybody else said, not what the prognosticators of your day have to say. Take what thus saith the Lord. Eat the whole thing. And go and speak to my people. And tell them, he says, I'm going to cause you to understand it. And I'm not sending you to a people of a strange speech. You see that right there in verse number 6? He says in verse 5 and 6, for thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech or of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. I'm sending you to your own people, my people, who I have called and separated. And not many, he says, not to many people of a strange speech or of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely I have sent, if I had sent thee to them, they would have hearkened to you. You know what? If he had went to the Gentiles, they would have believed him. But he didn't. And so you and I, think about where we are. Think about your life. You know what? We all have some friends or some people we know on our jobs and in our lives, and some of them are a little bit loose. We might say they may be a few fries short of a happy meal. Come on, somebody. You know, you got people who don't really understand, and they're out here and they're hearing all this stuff coming in. You may even have somebody that's a cheeseburger short and a tall. They may be a little bit more than a few fries short in your life of a happy meal, if you will. But the fact is, you have been put somewhere, or God has put you where you can impact somebody. You know, it may be your boss. It may be your neighbor. Maybe somebody at your school or wherever you are in plugged in. God has plugged you in for a reason, wherever you are. And you have some influence. God has given you influence. If you believe the gospel, God has given you His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you, no matter how you feel about anything going on around you. You know what? We have to learn to tune in and cater to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there. He is given to you as a gift if you are saved. You might be troubled. You might be wondering, you know, we heard threats of terrorism. Even this time, they said, oh, there's terrorist threats, and they start elevating the threat level and all that kind of stuff. And maybe you get uneasy when these times come upon you. You know what? Relax in the Lord if you're truly His. Take the Word. Find every occasion you can to acquaint yourself with the Word. This place ought to be flowing over on Bible study night and for Sunday school. It really ought to. Because we really need to tune in right now. The Lord said, I'm sending out prophets to alert my people it's time to wake up. When we see stuff like that that went on up there, that's a wake-up call for me and you. Wake up. Time is getting short. We don't know when it'll be. I'm not up here to just try to scare anybody, because I know I can't scare you. If you're not scared living in St. Louis, I really can't scare you.
Come on now.
You know, I can't do anything worse than what you're going through already. You know, and I'm not trying to scare you, but I am trying to alert you today. Look at where we are in time. Look at what's happening to the church.
Amen.
The church is becoming like Israel. We've forgotten what the Lord sees. We got a lot of other kinds of agendas other than coming together and distributing the gospel. We're not thinking about reaching out into the world and touching those people. All these people are confused. They're under the guise of Satan. But the Lord said to Ezekiel, I didn't send you, these people going to look at you like you're crazy. So I'm fixing up your face so you can look them right in the eye and tell them the truth. You see? And so He's done that for you if you are equipped with the Spirit of the Lord. That is a free gift. The only way you can have the Holy Spirit is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you believe in Him, God will fill you with the Spirit. We don't do it. We wish we could, but we can't. God, the Holy Spirit, is the gift of God. He gives it to whoever believes in the gospel, that you trust that God gave His Son, that Jesus Christ is the only one that's capable of paying the full debt for the sin of the world. There isn't anyone else.
Amen.
Do you believe that today?
Amen.
I hope you do. The lesson written in your bulletin says, here today, gone tomorrow. I want to flip that on its head here this morning. I want you to understand, hear today, H-E-A-R, today. Listen to what God says. Hear today. Like God sent Ezekiel, the Israelites refused to hear. Although they were presently here, if you will. We're all here, but do we all hear? Is your ear open to the truth? If we hear it today, some of the problems that we have in our life, some of the things the devil has attacked us with, guess what? They'll be gone tomorrow.
Come on now.
If you hear it today, what the Lord is saying, open up your ear. You hear what I'm saying here? Hear it today, what God has said, believe it, and that stuff that's bothering you, gone tomorrow.
All right.
And you can move on in the fear of the Lord. You can move on by faith. If you hear today what the Lord says, think of all the times that the Bible admonishes us to hear. And we'll get back to 1 Corinthians. Fallen human nature continues. This is something that the saints have to be concerned about. Fallen human nature continues to militate against spiritual progress. Did you know that? Because the fallen nature is still there, even when you're saved. Paul says, I who would do good finds that evil is present with me. So that evil proclivity is still in there. What we saw on September 11th and all these other times when crazy folks went and done something that they should not have done, and we all go, oh my God, how horrible. You know, it's just human nature working itself out. That's what man would do if he was not put in check by the Spirit of God. He might do worse. We haven't seen the worst yet, let me tell you that. But fallen human nature continues to militate against spiritual progress. The Holy Spirit is trying to make you like Christ. Did you know that? That's the intention of God, that for whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. God is trying to conform each one of us to the image of Christ. That's his mission. His cards are on the table. He wants Pastor Jeffries, me, Sister Sylvia, Sister, all through here, if I just went through here naming names, Sister Hope, whoever, Jonathan, every one of you, conform to the image of Christ. That's God's plan for all of us. You know what? Our flesh is going, oh no, God, I'm not going to be like Christ. I'm going to do my thing. I'm not going to love people like you loved us. I'm not going to put up with people's foolishness like you did. I'm going to do it this way. And we're stubborn. The human spirit is stubborn against the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going in my way, Lord. My way or the highway, as a matter of fact. You know, I'm not doing it your way. The Holy Spirit is trying to adjust you to be like Christ. And when, you know, when I look at myself, I'm a long way away from being like Christ. You know what? But my flesh is constantly working against the Spirit of God. If the truth was told. You know what? I'm better than I used to be. I'm not as bad as I was when I had all kinds of other influences of the flesh working on me. I remember some of the stuff I did. If I told you, you'd say, well, you know what? He got a lot of audacity being a preacher. And some of y'all might scandalize me real bad if you really knew all the stuff that went on. But you know what? The Holy Spirit moved in when I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came in, he said, okay, Fisher, this stuff here, unacceptable, can't do that no more. Eventually I said, yes, Lord, I'm not going to do that no more. The consequences of that stuff went on for a long time in my life. He let me live it down, he walked me through it so I could become better. You know, and then he said, now you got this stuff over here, that's got to go. And I said, oh no, not this. You know, and he said, yes, yes, that. And it goes back and forth. The Spirit of the Lord is in there. He's in there right now if you're saved. If you're not saved, you don't have any idea what I'm talking about. You think, well, what kind of crazy man is that who's up there? You know, but if you're saved, you know the Holy Spirit took up residence and you would like to be the president, but you would like not for him to be the president. That's the way it is. I mean, we militate, the fallen human flesh militates against spiritual progress. So when we have those kind of things and we know this is not Christ-like, why don't we learn not to quench the Spirit? Why don't we learn I need to quench the flesh? I need to put the flesh in check. When there's a spiritual thing that God wants me to do and I refuse to do it. You know what? How you know what's a spiritual thing God wants you to do? Open the book. That's why he told Ezekiel, eat the whole roll. Eat it all. See, there's nothing in here that will hurt you. Nothing, absolutely nothing. You know what? Do we know everything in here? Have we purpose in our heart that I'm going to find out what's in here? You'd be amazed if you knew everything you need is in here. You know, I didn't talk about that Prego. It's in there. Well, this is better than Prego. And it's in there. I'm going to let you know. Whatever your problem is. Some of it we know. This is the part that bothers me. The stuff I know that's in there, I don't want to do it after time. You know why? Because the flesh says, oh, well, you know. We make excuses. We excuse ourselves out of being what the Lord wants us to be. You know, the church at Corinth had problems like that. And this is the reason why I took you to chapter 14. I want you to see this. Here. Brethren, he says, be not children in understanding. We want to be children when it comes to understanding. We want to act like we're in the kindergarten. When we may have been in the church 30 years. But now I'm in the kindergarten now when it would have to be that I should not gossip or I should not run somebody's name down or I should not spread stories that I don't know anything about and sow discord in the church. I'm a baby now. See, but when am I going to grow up? Paul says, when I was a child, I think as a child and I acted as a child. You know, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You see, so we need to learn to grow up spiritually. The children of, I should say the Corinthians in either case, Paul says, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice, all that evil stuff, let be us out of there. Put the evil stuff on the back burner. You see, let that be in the kindergarten, to bring your spiritual knowledge to the college level, if you will, grow up. He says, in the law it is written, now here, notice this, with men of strange, of other tongues, and of other lips, I will speak to this people, and yet for all that, they will not hear me, saith the Lord. That's Ezekiel's conflict. He went in, he spoke to the children of Israel. God says, I'm not sending you the people of a strange speech. When you get time, look at Isaiah 28, verse 11 also on that, if you want to make a note of it. And you know what? This is something that has been on my mind. In the last 10 years, there's been an escalation of foreign languages in your life. Have you noticed it? You go in the grocery store, you got to see which one of these can I read? And you're looking up there to find out where is the potatoes. Oh, okay, there's all kinds of languages up there. You go to the ATM, Spanish or English or French or whatever. You got to select the language. What do you think that means? The Bible says, notice this, move on to verse 22, wherefore the tongues are a sign, not to them that believe, you see that? But to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. The Bible says tongues are for a sign for unbelievers. You know, when people don't do right, God allows you to be judged in the tongues that you hear, and that start to move into your life like what we're experiencing now, is a sign. It's a sign to let you know the judgment has come in. So we need to be aware of that. The church should be aware. The country is under judgment. That might be a shocking message for some of you. So what should we be about? We should be about our Father's business. How did we get saved? Somebody told us the gospel that God loved us just exactly like we are. You know what? He has enough salvation to save all the Jews who don't believe in him. There's enough salvation to save all the Arabs who hate us with fly planes in the buildings and destroy as many of us as they can. He has enough salvation to save all the Russians who are constantly doing whatever they do. He can save all the Africans, all the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Muslims, whoever else. And the only difference between them and us is that we heard the gospel, God gave us faith to believe it, and now we are saved. Those of us who have believed it. Now, you know, if we have heard it, we ought to walk in it. That's the next thing. God didn't save us to continue to live like pagans. He wants us to be like Christ. That's his purpose. So a problem with hearing has always been the problem, all the way from the Garden of Eden. I'm going to have to wrap up my thoughts. I should have wrote a book about this. This is a great subject. But the fact is, maybe I will. I don't know. But all the way from Genesis, I want you to understand this. What was the problem? As soon as Adam sinned, Genesis 3 and 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. When we do wrong, we want to run away and hide from God. Don't want to come to church. Oh, that thing I did last night, can't go in tomorrow. Oh, they haven't come in today. I better not come to church. You know, we need to examine ourselves. You know what? You ought to run to the church. If you sinned last night, this is where you need to be, Sunday morning. You need to get up and run down here. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me right now, God. Fill me right now, God. Change my evil heart right now, God. Take away my sin, Lord. Help me to serve you. Help me to be a good, real witness, not a hypocrite. So that when people see my life, God, they can see Christ in me, the hope of glory. See, we all come like that, but we don't. You know what we do? We all will come next week. Skip church. Don't want to be here. You know what? We shouldn't even have to have reminders about stewardship. We ought to love the church and see that it's so vital that it's the most important thing. We're going to make room in our budgets to support the church.
Come on now.
The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. This is where people hear the gospel of Christ. This is where they are saved and baptized. It's not happening by the government. The government ain't baptizing nobody except in filth. Knowledge of the foolish. Baptizing you in pornography. Baptizing you in casinos and all kinds of stuff that takes away your income. That's all they're doing. They're baptizing, but it's not in the waters of baptism that usher people into the kingdom of God. You know what? How much money do we spend on all that hogwash, movies and all kinds of stuff? And how much do we love the church? We ought to ask ourselves. You know, that nobody else is telling the gospel except the church. Nobody else is supposed to except the church. You know, once you get where you're telling the gospel, you are the church. And that's the important thing. Nobody will ever get saved by politics or any of that stuff. But I want you to know that the flesh lusts against the spirit against, is against the flesh. Therefore, we must constantly put the flesh in check, because spiritual decay, complacency, and degeneration of the work of the Holy Spirit can happen in your life, even in the life of believers of Jesus Christ, if you don't watch yourself. Because of the deceitfulness of sin has allured many off the path of truth and has caused many to be deceived who are operating in low gear, in neutral, or even in reverse, working against the church. And as they digress, rather than progressing and walking with the Lord. That's what Psalm 1 was about. Remember that? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners. He was walking. Now he's walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Then he's standing in the way of sinners. Then he's sitting in the seat of the scornful. He's backing up. He's not heading toward God. See? But instead, your delight should be in the law of the Lord. And in his law, you should meditate day and night. Pastor was talking about that in Sunday school this morning. See, and we really need to get with it. Realize the devil can put you in reverse. He can put you in low gear. He can put you in neutral where you're just coasting. But you know what? You ought to put it in drive and move forward. You ought to put it in high gear and press on in the name of the Lord. You ought to be pressing toward the mark for the high upper call of God. Life is a vapor, James says. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Therefore, we should take advantage of every moment, seeing that life is a precious, and it's a present from God. I think that's why we call this the present. We are in the present tense. It's a present from God that we're here. You're being blessed right now. This is a present from God. Because you're here today. You woke up this morning. You got another day to do his will. He says, today if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. See, don't harden your heart. Don't let somebody tell you, oh, Pastor Fisher is going crazy up there. You know, because I meditated about this, and this is what we need. We need to listen to what the Lord says. Cancel the flesh. Tell the flesh no. Move forward in the name of the Lord. And realize that we don't have a lot of time to get it done. The devil would like to have you waste your time and be unproductive. You see, so today is a present from God, who is rich in dispensing mercy every day to those who hear his voice and harden not their hearts, but rather respond in living faith and do not quench the Holy Spirit, but rather follow his leading and allow God's working through his word to provide the promised prosperity to prevail in your life. You know, if you do that, God promised that he would bless you. He'll give you prosperity. He'll give you peace. He's the only one that can give you health and strength. He's the only one that makes you able to see. Look at all the things the Lord does for you every day. And today, if you hear his voice, realize he loves you. The cross basically is an enigma. This is something I wanted to say just as we close. Look at the paradox of the cross. We see the spotless, perfect Son of God came out of heaven into the world, lived here, came of a supernatural birth, lived in the world for 30 years before starting a ministry that ended with him being crucified on the tree. How ugly is that? The cross is the ugliest thing you can possibly imagine. Messiah, the Son of God, coming into the world, lifted up on the cross after being mutilated and spit upon. There's nothing uglier than we've seen. September 11th doesn't compare with the cross.
Amen.
And I'm not trying to minimize that. That was an awful, terrible thing. But the cross is even uglier. Because it's God's Son crucified on the cross. Perfectly without a flaw. Perfect. He was ugly. He was just perfect. He was God in the flesh. And what did man do to him? Crucified him on a tree. And he was dying there for the sins of all the whole world. So that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the best news in the world. The cross is not only the worst thing that ever happened, but it's the best thing that ever happened for me and you.
cross and let's get into all these other things. You know, those other things are going to come up sharp in the day of judgment because God has one way to save whosoever believes in him. Whoever trusts in him, you know, you won't even get anybody upset if you start talking about God. Because everybody wants to say they believe in God. But the problem is they don't believe in Christ. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can save. There's salvation in no one else, Peter said. For there's no other name under heaven which has been given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. No other name under heaven which has been given among men whereby we must be saved. If you're here today and you're not sure that you are saved, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. That's what the Bible says. That today, if you hear his voice, remember what I said, if you hear it today, whatever your problems are, gone tomorrow. In fact, it'll be gone today. You can take that stuff away right now, today, by faith. So if you're here, I want to invite you, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you can come right now. The cross is available for all men, women, boys, and girls. God is commanding you. Did you know the gospel is a command? It's believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Trust and believe that God has raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. God commands all men, women, and boys and girls everywhere to believe in his son. Whoever does not believe in him shall perish and their eternity will be a terrible thing. You think the catechism of September 11th was off? On that day, souls who had trusted in Christ went to be with God. Souls who had not realized that the gospel is true and I failed to accept it. And I continue on in destruction. You know, so if you're here today, the church is the best organization on earth, no matter how mighty you might look. There's nothing better than the church. Because the church is the place where godly knowledge is taught, where the word of God is taught, where the people of God are cultivated. You know, you're either in the church or you're not. But the church is the place of blessing on planet earth. And so I want to invite you to be a part of the church. Come now while you can. Because here today, gone tomorrow. We don't know.